All right, moving right along. Item seven is going to be our introduction to the member online application.
So this is the member portal. As I mentioned previously, Sagtech had some areas of criteria that they wanted us to say in order to have this in a public session. So one of them is to make the statement, the implementation of the member self-service portal is specific to Sisera. So what you're seeing is specific to Sisera and none of their other clients. And then with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Colin, and he is going to give you a preview of what the portal looks like, since the portal has been something that he's been working a lot on.
Colin's going to dazzle us.
All right, great, thank you. So we just brought up the login screen, and just to kind of set the stage for this, the member portal is a really big part of our pension software project. It's something that we've wanted to give our members for a really long time. It's also something that we know our members have wanted for a long time. In our 2024 member survey, we asked members, what improvements would you like to see from Sisera? And this was the number one response, please give us a member portal, basically. So it's been many years in the making. We're finally there. We're really happy to roll this out and to show you what it looks like. Ultimately, all 26,000 of our members are going to be able to have access. That includes our active, retired, and deferred members. Today, we'll show you what it looks like for active members and deferred members. Want to thank some of the trustees who have helped us do some of the testing already. Dennis has helped out a lot. Donnie has as well. And we've had a lot of staff support on this. The staff has been working on this for many years, along with the rest of the pension software project. And the work continues. There's a lot of testing that is ongoing. We've also got about 100 plus people enrolled in the system now. That includes a lot of our staff. That includes some of our trustees. It includes some of our Sisera retirees from the past. And it also is including some of our March retirees from this year. We've got maybe a dozen or so people enrolled already, and they're in the system taking a look and helping us out with feedback. And Sagitech is continuing to work on improvements that we've shared with them. So over the next few weeks, as we head towards a larger rollout in the next few weeks and months, Sagitech is continuing to make improvements. And so far, they've been very responsive. We're very happy with the improvements that they've made and the partnership that we have with them to make this a really good member portal. When we're ready to do it, when we're ready to roll this out to a larger audience, that's going to take a lot of additional staff time, so we're doing some training internally and making sure everybody's ready for that. Working with Sagitech a lot on how that should look based on some feedback they've gotten from other clients. And we've done some staff training on some of the safety and security features, and we'll continue to do staff training as we head towards a larger rollout.
In the world of words, people selling programs and games and say you can't sell teams without a program. Who's Entrust?
Entrust is a third-party SaaS ID verification company. So they're the ones that help support the multi-factor authentication that we have plugged into the system. They're basically a plug-in for MFA.
Okay.
Yeah. So the development's been done by Sagitech. So I'm glad you picked up on that, Jerry. All right. So like I said, here's the login screen. I won't take you through the MFA process because we're going to go into basically an administrative view of the system. But this is what it's going to look like when members go to the login screen for the first time. They'll enter their information, they'll click next, and then they'll pass through some multi-factor authentication to ensure that the person who is logging in is who they're supposed to be. All right, so then we'll get into the system. This is what the homepage is going to look like for our members. We're looking right now at an active member screen. So this is the home dashboard, the homepage that they're going to see. I guess I can't resist, since we've talked so much about fonts this morning, I'll kind of show you. It's very easy to zoom in and out. This is responsive design. So if you're looking at this on a cell phone or a tablet, it's going to resize based on the size of the screen that you're looking at it on. And you can kind of see what that would look like if I zoomed way in. This would kind of be what it would look like on a cell phone. Maybe here or thereabouts would be what it would look like on a tablet. We'll go back out right now so you can see what the whole homepage looks like, see most of the features that we're going to look at. As I said, this is an active member, so up here in this member account section, you're going to see a basic overview of some of the more important stuff that members are going to want to know. The benefit service credit is here, the account balance is here. If there's anything that they need to be alerted about, that's going to show up on the right side of the screen. For example, on this to-do list, if we have a member who hasn't updated their beneficiaries or doesn't have a beneficiary on file, there's going to be a notification on this to-do list that tells them, click here to update your beneficiaries because we see that you don't have any beneficiaries on file. So it's looking at their record actively and telling them stuff based on what the system sees in their record. Down in the bottom left here, we have some shortcuts, some buttons that take you to a lot of the stuff that members will want to do typically when they're in the system. I'll scroll through here really quick, but there's a bunch of different things that you can see in here, and we'll look at just a few of these in a moment. But right now, we'll go up here. We'll zoom in a little bit to the member's account and show you some more information. So right here, as you're looking in the member account detail, you're going to see a little more detail on the amount of money that's in the member's account and where it came from. So here you see that part of that is coming from contributions and part of that's coming from interest and just how much of each is accounted for there. We show the member's employment history, so if they've had more than one employer, those will show up here. And then down at the bottom, you'll see the beneficiaries of the member, the named beneficiaries. So again, if they don't have somebody on file, there's going to be a notification on the homepage. If they do have a beneficiary on file, it's going to show up here. If the member wants to change their beneficiary, there's some text here that explains what they need to do. As an active member, which this is, they would just need to click here. And this will pop up a form that they can use to update their beneficiaries. They need to complete this and then send it in to us. But I'll show you really quickly what that looks like. And I'll zoom in a little bit too. And you can see that it's populated the form partially with the member's information. So it's grabbing the member's information, some of the basic info, out of the system and putting it in here for the member to use more conveniently. And I should point out, this is all scrambled data, so everything that you're seeing here, there's no PII, there's no member information. It's all scrambled information.
Looks like your real email address.
That is my email address. Testing this out, I put my own email address in here, but it's a fake person otherwise.
You need to put you as a beneficiary.
Good catch.
People are stopping that, right?
All right.
So under the employment history, is it within the county or will it show reciprocal?
This right now will only show CICERA employment history. So one of the things we're asking to add will be some reciprocity information. That won't necessarily go here, but ultimately we want to be able to indicate that the member has reciprocity if we have it on file. That's not otherwise indicated right now.
Because from what I remember, I think the page 4 of that annual statement does show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have that in the system, and so hopefully it's something we can get on screen here for the members in the portal.
Just a comment. I have 2 tiers, both in CICERA, and it does show for me both of my tiers. So within CICERA, it shows all the tiers.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking of those employees that come from outside.
We'll show one more thing here. This is a common letter that's requested by a lot of members, and it's an account balance letter. So the system is basically generating this based on what's in the system and creates a form letter with all the members' information populated there. So this is one of those things typically that a member would have to call in and ask to get from us. Here they can go into member self-service and get it themselves.
Colin?
Mm-hmm.
For account balance, the relevance of that, I mean, in essence, your account balance is what you could cash out if you had to,
mm-hmm.
right? So we would never encourage our members to cash out, you know, in general. And then once people start taking their retirement, then does that affect their account balance, or what is the relevance of account balance after that? And then how do we educate our members on it?
So for an account balance, during active employment, we do get quite a few members that need something, maybe for a financial institution, maybe they're going through a divorce. That just shows what is the balance in their account. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're looking to refund, but they have to show that third party what they have saved with us. And so that's really what they're calling, and that's why you see this button when they're an active member on the screen, so they're able to get that whenever they need it for whatever third party. But once they retire, they won't see that button because the account balance really goes into the retiree fund. That's what is for any benefits going forward. There's no real, you know, savings account sitting there that they could refund out because now they're on payroll and that's how their benefit's being paid.
Okay, great. And then another thing that I get from some members is the question of, well, how come it's not showing county contributions? How come it's just showing my contributions? Isn't my balance more valuable?
And the member's contributions are what the member basically owns. The employer contributions are part of the fund and are what help pay that benefit going forward. But if a member did want a refund, employer contributions are not refunded. So there's not an ownership, I guess, if you could call it that, around those monies.
So when this goes out and people can just go right up and access their account balance, how do we educate them to with respect to what this all means and so forth? And,
so what they're going to see is only their monies. So this is only showing the employee side of it. It doesn't include any employer contributions.
So David, are you concerned that a member would log in and who knows what the circumstances, and they look and they see they got 94 grand and the concern would be that somebody might be, for whatever pressure, whatever reason, inclined to want to liquidate it, to take it out. Is that, in other words, are you trying to guardrail against that? Is that?
Well, understanding what it is that they own, kind of what you were saying. So in your pay stub, you see contributions that you've made towards your pension.
Right.
But then there's also in that column, county contributions. And it's like, well, wait a minute, if the county's putting this much every month into my account, how come I'm not seeing it here on portal? And so I think there may be some clarifications or
yeah, maybe some
information that are made so that people have a very clear understanding as best as possible with respect to what all this means.
Like employer contributions not shown here, something that tells you that? When you
yeah, well, employer contributions not shown here because this employer contributions go to the overall general fund, which will help fund the pension going forward. So in other words, individuals' contributions are not going to account for all their pension payments. A majority of that is from the employer. But some people feel that, well, what's shown on their pay stub, how come that's not reflected in, you know,
well, my response would be it's a cash account, right? That's all, what this is a cash balance of employee contributions. I think, I mean, somebody help me, but I think that's what it is, right? So it may be that it needs some context or color on what somebody's looking at, but this is what's in your piggy bank that you actually could take as yours later if you wanted to.
So would it be worth putting in one of those informational bubbles that you can click on that will kind of briefly explain that what's shown here is simply your account excluding the county contributions, and then link it to, well, if you cash out, you forfeit the county contributions, and then under interest, we can explain that if this is a calculation of whatever a bank rate calculation would be as opposed to the assumed rate of return.
The interest is the assumed rate.
Oh, so if they cash out though, they get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we apply interest every 6 months and set the assumed rate of return.
Okay. Oh, that maybe it was because I think there was a discussion, what was it, 12 years ago about it. or Bankrate calculator. So that's the next step. But yeah, something that they can maybe click on that'll provide some sort of disclosure or.
Could be an FAQ, you know, something like that. I don't know, Derek, you have anything?
Taking Scott's kind of a piggyback, if someone were to use this, they're applying for a home loan. And I think an automobile one, but then that loaner would want to know who the benefit or what is out there as something they can reach if they had to. And you wouldn't want to list any of the county stuff out there because they can't reach that.
Right.
So you'd have to be careful about making sure you don't put the county assets on there.
Sure.
Because that's not something they can use as an asset against the loan request.
But I think it's also a fundamental misunderstanding that some people have. Oh, the county puts this in on my behalf, therefore it's mine. But they understand that it goes into a general pot. And then what's truly theirs is reflected in these things.
This is very good.
Well, and I was just gonna say, I think that's really helpful to put as an FAQ, but I would see no benefit in ever putting in what the county's portion is, just because it would be subject to confusion.
Yeah, so it's not a real cash value.
It's not, there is no cash value to it.
Right.
No, and I think it's, you know, it's sort of a, how does the pension system work kind of FAQ, sort of whatever you're doing when you are doing your introduction to your pension and retirement benefits. So, but this is really quite amazing. I'm excited to be able to access it. What is it? And maybe you're getting to the timing, and I'm sorry, I do have to leave shortly, which is why I'm asking the question. What is the timing with that we're gonna push it out to the general membership?
Yeah, over the next few weeks, we're gonna continue to make some modifications with Sagitech, and I would say once we get into April and then the next few months after that, I think we'll start to do more of a phased rollout. Our intent is to be able to push it out to smaller groups of people first so that we don't have a huge rush of people asking questions or calling us at any given time so that we can manage our staff resources more appropriately and then also have plenty of time for staff to get trained and get more comfortable on the type of questions they're going to encounter when people call in.
Feel free to maybe be one of your testers.
I mean, sure.
No, just because, not yeah. Because I want to see my own account, but because I spend a lot of time managing accounts for myself and for my father. And so I'm very happy to give you feedback as to what I think is user-friendly or not. So.
Absolutely, yeah. And for the rest of the trustees who are also members, we can get you in as soon as you'd like. So.
Yeah.
This is another one of the great paradoxes of giving more information. One of the goals of this effort is to take a load off the staff because so much of the stuff is self-serve.
Right.
No. Portal. The unfortunate thing is, as you add more information, that will initially increase the inbox.
Yeah, there's probably a decay curve on this. That the initial spike, and then that should decay off.
Right.
I would hope.
But in this case, it's not more information. It's exactly the same balance that's shown on annual statement. So if people paid attention to those, I mean, that's exactly the same amount.
So with the technical support, password resets, does this lock out after so many incorrect passwords?
It will, yes.
Okay, so with that kind of technical support, will they be calling into the office or is this going
mm-hmm.
to some call?
Yeah, we'll handle everything internally.
Okay.
All right, keep plugging away.
All right, so I'll show you a few more things here in the active member account. This is basically the member's chance to go in and check that their demographic information is correct. As an active member, they can look at their address, but they can't change it because addresses are managed by the employer, so there's a notification up there that if the address is not correct, then they should contact their employer, and then their employer will send us that update. Going back to the main dashboard again, I'll show you one thing here. Since Dr. McDonald, you asked about members making withdrawals during active service. Of course, they can't do that. So as an active member, if this person clicked on this button here, which says apply for withdrawal, it will give them a notification that they're not eligible to withdraw their money at this time. So this would be an option that would be really only available to deferred members. So once someone separates, once we receive a notification of termination from their employer, the system will recognize that and then it will allow them to initiate the withdrawal process. It's basically going to help them fill out the withdrawal form, make sure they sign it, and then send it into Cicera.
Just cashing out, that's not a loan against.
That's right. All right, and then let's see if I had anything. Really quick, so sorry, we'll go over here. This is probably one of the bigger and better things that we want members to be able to do in here. It's to estimate a retirement benefit. So to do that, they'd click on estimate a benefit. They'd initiate the benefit estimate by clicking create. That will take them to this wizard, which is going to run through a few pages. I'll just do it very quickly for you. But basically, they'll select a retirement date. I'll show you what that looks like first if they put in a date that is before their earliest retirement date. So this member is not yet 52. She's a PEPRA member, and she's first eligible to retire in 2039. So if she tries to put 2030 as a retirement date, it's going to tell her, no, you can't do that because you're not old enough.
Getting
yep. All right, so we'll change it to her earliest retirement date. We'll click save. It's going to give her a chance to review. It's going to update all the information over here in the table so that she gets an at-a-glance look at all the different benefit options and what the dollar amounts would look like for all of those. And once she's happy with how it looks, she can click complete estimate and click OK. And then we'll go back to the main screen here of the benefit estimate screen, sorry. The one that she just did is right here. It's not ordered chronologically, but it will be in a few weeks. So if she wants to now look at it later, she can just click open, take a look. There's the benefit estimate that she just did with all the information there. And then one other thing that this member can do is, let's say she's run a few different benefit estimates. She can click some of those and then click compare, and it'll give her a side-by-side on what each of those scenarios looks like. So she put one in at age 58 retirement and one at age 52 retirement. There's what those dollar amounts look like. That will obviously help our members with retirement planning.
For the final year salary, are you using their current salary, or are you putting in a multiplier, you know, assuming they're going to get a 2%
It's using their current FAST.
Using their current, okay, yeah. Which is helpful, again, not knowing what's going to happen to anyone's salary.
Yeah, the system does also give them a chance. I didn't really point that out on the first screen, but it gives them a chance to do an override of that. So let's say they're planning for raises or step increases, whatever the case might be. They can put that in, override the existing FAST that we have on record, and then get a look at the estimate based on that overridden dollar amount.
So I appreciate, it's a great tool, and I appreciate that first sentence there that says Cicera Retirement Estimate Calculator is a tool for potential retirement benefits. Perhaps we could follow that with a sentence in bold saying actual retirement calculation will be handled at the time of separation or retirement or whatever. Just so that it is perfectly clear that this is just something to look at to help plan, but not a definite.
The results may vary.
Sure. Thanks for that feedback.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, we're going to leave the benefit estimator if everyone's ready to do that. Let me know if you have any other questions on this piece of it. I've shown you just about everything that I'm going to with the actives, but if you want to see anything else on the screen, let me know.
So the purchase service credit, will that run them an estimate on how much per year?
It will if there's some, let me just double check in there. Yeah, so basically what this is going to do is, in some cases, if they have some purchasable time that we know about, it's going to populate with that information here. And then run an estimate based on that.
It's an estimate of the cost to do the service purchase. I think you're asking for the next step if they made that purchase.
Right, I'm thinking there are probably variables like what type of service they're buying back. But I would imagine some of the other factors are pretty set as an age.
Yeah, it's only going to provide the service they can purchase, and then they would run through the process, see how much will it cost them right now to purchase that but then to figure out the, what, how does this increase my retirement benefit when I decide to retire, they would have to take that information and say, I just purchased 2 years. They would go back to that estimate calculator that Colin was just showing and have the 2 years there.
Okay, so if they've already bought time back, that would be reflected in the calculator?
Right.
Also, question, for the documents, I know that Sarah asked sometimes to submit documents required for retirement ahead of time, which I did, but I'm not sure, I don't think it's listed. So is there going to be a way also to submit, because there is a way to, like, for documents, right? Is there a way to submit documents like marriage certificates, birth certificates? Or?
Yeah, you can submit documents through here. Typically, the system's not going to show you documents that you've submitted or that you have on file, other than documents that have been created within this system. So for example, if you you have a birth certificate on file with us, it's not gonna be listed in the documents here. We're putting a informational text on that page to let members know that they can always ask us if they're wondering about a document that they have on file, because we did receive some other feedback about that particular question, Dennis. But basically, there is a way to upload documents. I can just show you the screen really quickly.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I just was wondering, will it show that it already exists so I don't have to kind of submit it again?
Yeah, it will not show that it exists once you upload it. I think you'll get a notification that it's been uploaded, but you're not. I don't think you're going to see a copy of it in the portal here.
Yeah,
I'd have to double check for sure, though.
Even for a message that would say documents that need to be.
Yeah, because not necessarily see the document, yeah, but just it says like birth certificate already there, so I don't have to submit it again. I wasn't looking for an actual picture of the birth certificate. Yeah. And another question, I think right now in the statement it does show if active death is on file. I'm not sure it doesn't show it here. Maybe it did that. Maybe it just didn't see it.
I don't think we have that either, but. That's something that we have an indicator for in our internal view of the system, what we call line of business. So it's definitely something we should be able to add here, because it's really just a flag. So that's a good point. We'll make a note of that too.
Can you follow on document uploads?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I mean, you're getting those from thousands of people with different states of file corruptions on their own systems. So we have something in place to.
Yeah, we talked about that with the vendor, and we only accept certain types of files. So, without getting too much into the security details, we're not accepting files that should be able to have bad stuff in them. And then there's also some amount of scanning being done in the background to make sure that there isn't something like that.
Okay, but we have the ability to screen any file that gets uploaded into
yes.
our system just to make sure it's not corrupt.
No dirty needles are going to come in. Yes. No, it's an important thing to not to have that kind of security firewall to prevent something from being encoded onto a document.
Okay. Really quickly, I'll jump into the retiree portal just to show you some of the differences and what that looks like. Again, this is scrambled data. This is not a real retiree. But main difference here between the active and retired person that you see, now we're seeing benefit payment accounts because the person is retired, they're receiving a benefit. And you see on this homepage, you're going to see the gross benefit amount, the net benefit amount, the next payment date, all the really high-level information that a retiree would want to be able to see. If we click in here, get a little more detail on the member's account, we see all the deduction information that they would see on their pay stub. This mirrors the exact information that they're going to see on their pay stub. The one thing that's not ready yet that we do expect in the coming weeks is that they will be able to scroll down or somewhere else on this page or some other page and get a PDF copy of their pay stub. We do not have that available for them yet, but that's a big enhancement that we're waiting for Sagitech to make for us. But again, all the basic information that they're going to see on their pay stub is here. So all the different deductions, the gross and the net, next payment date, last payment date. If they go to the bottom, they're going to be able to see their yearly roll-up, so everything that they've made, and this person's been retired for, let's say, 15, 16 years, whatever it is, they're going to see their annual net here, along with the gross, the deductions, and the amount of taxes that they paid on that, too.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. A lot of work has gone into this. I can see that.
I'll show you one other thing here. So there's some ability for members also to see what it would look like if they changed their tax withholdings. So we'll go here. We'll ask them to put in their gross amount. We'll just make a couple of quick elections here just to make this fast. We'll say calculate, and then it gives them a look at what their new monthly benefit would look like with that updated benefit withholding. There is one calculator in here that also takes their exact information, just loads it in for them automatically. We're making some modifications to that, so I'm showing you a more basic version of that. But ultimately, what it should be able to do is take their exact payment information, give them a look at what it's going to look like if they make the potential modifications that they're thinking about, and then it shows them their new monthly payment amount. So it makes it even easier for them than what I just showed you. And then finally, I'll just show you one more thing. One of the main things that retirees are going to ask about or look for, and that's their annual 1099s. They open up the menu up in the upper left-hand corner, come here to annual tax forms, and their 1099s are going to be here for every year going forward. These will be here in the system for them. So they'll click on this, and it'll open a PDF of their 1099. And that's all I planned on showing, but
that's awesome.
Happy to take any other questions or show you anything else that you want to see.
Yeah, it relates to what we talked before about the balance. Mm-hmm. For retirees, I think Christine said you were not showing the balance, right? But I thought for option one, I think, right, the one that do have the balance refundable after death, it might be a good idea to show it.
Yeah, one thing that we do have for retirees, and I glossed over this, but it's an award, we call an award letter, so it's the equivalent of that same account balance letter that we give to actives, but this is for retirees. We get a lot of requests when, as Christina mentioned, people are opening up, trying to get a loan or something like that, they'll be required to present a letter like this. They'll click this, and they will get a copy of this. This is opening a Word doc, but that's because we're in a development environment. They'll see a PDF. They'll open it, and it'll give them a breakdown of their monthly payment. So not exactly what you asked about, Dennis, but that reminded me.
No, because for me, and I think for probably most people, for those, I guess, who select option one, it's really hard to know what the actual balance is there. Because I know only partially the payment, once the payment is drawn against members' account, and partially against the county, right, or the total fund, I mean. So it's kind of hard to know, let's say somebody retired, lived for 10 years and died, is anything left in the account for the option one or not? So.
Unlikely, 10 years. Yeah, so but if you were asking 3 years, then yeah, maybe. but yeah, it could be something that we add on to here. We'll just want to test the system even more on that balance. We don't get a lot of option ones, so it's a little harder to test them regularly, but we could test to make sure that the system is reducing that balance, because before this new system, we didn't have anything tracking that. It was just at that point in time, we were having to go and manually figure out what the balance was. This system now will give us that ability. So once we feel like that it's calculating really solidly, then we would want to put it on the account, but we'd have to talk to SciCheck. So it's definitely something we could look at doing in the future.
So, yeah, just to clarify, with respect to estate planning, an individual needs to see, well, if the retiree passes away, then there's potential that whatever remaining balance in their account is available to a beneficiary.
Depending on the option that they've chosen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're looking into whether or not you can put that into the portal for people to review.
Right, so with an option one, which is the one that we see more often, what the retiree is doing is they're taking somewhat of a reduction in their benefit in order to provide a lump sum payment to a beneficiary, but that lump sum payment amount is based on their own contribution, so like we saw on the active side, like the $94,000, and then each month that they receive a payment, it reduces that balance by an annuity portion. So just, you know, basically what those contributions purchased per month, it reduces it each month. And if there, whatever's left over there, that's what gets paid to the beneficiary. It's not a continuing monthly benefit or anything like that. It's really the balance of those contributions. And because you're taking a reduction to provide maybe a balance, because like I said, that is just the employee contribution. So if a retiree collects a payment every month for 5 years, there's a good chance that that balance is gone. So you'd have to, people don't usually weigh that as being a benefit they want to sign up for.
So is the pension payment, that comes off, that shaves down dollar per dollar, pretty much, per month of the employee's contribution?
The annuity portion of the pension payment. So a pension payment is made up of an annuity, which is the employee contributions, and then the pension side of it, which is that employer contributions. So for an option one, it's reducing it by that annuity, which is taking the employee contributions and figuring out how much that'd be per month and reducing that balance each time. So it's not the entire monthly payment that that member sees coming into their bank account. It's a portion of that.
Okay.
For option one.
We say clearly enough that the final decision on benefits is made by the employer, Sarah. And to the extent there's any difference, that's the final one. As gently as you can say it, but say it clearly.
I was thinking, David's already testing that too. I can't overemphasize the importance, I think, of what John's saying too. There really needs to be a message on, especially that user inquiry page. Whatever you're getting in the way of data today is fine. But basically, final calculations will always be determined by CSERA on the basis of all the information we have and official information that we have at that time from you. So because somebody's going to come to the page, or some attorney's going to come and say, it says right here, 2022, you said there were going to get this. And we said, no, it says this at the top, sir. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, we do have a general disclaimer on there, but we could certainly look and see if there's anything additional that we need to add. But I think right now we feel pretty comfortable with what we have in place.
It doesn't appear on every page.
Well, especially
two of
the
estimate my benefit page.
Yes,
that one.
Yes.
This is an estimate based upon what we have today.
Yeah. I that's wise.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's a good call.
And that's all I had.
Excellent. I really appreciate it, Colin.
Thank you.
And all the staff that have worked on this, all of you. This is impressive. This is great. It's great to see.
Thank you.
Everybody, take the day off.
You need to sign 60 of those.
We'll update your benefit accordingly. All right.